RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Tuesday morning feels like a Monday, though. We were off yesterday, back at it today. Got the Monday Fun Day crew here. Hazel's here, Megan's here. We'll get you updated on everything important in the entire world in the next 2 hours. That's what we're going to do. Megan's promised to explain this Kendrick Lamar Drake thing to me. She's only going to have one segment. We'll see. We'll see if she can pull it off. I'm very uneducated. That's what you need to know. It's what you need to know coming in. You got your work cut out for you.
Don't worry, I got you.
Here's what we're going to do today. Not right now, but later today. We're going to give away $50 to TGI Fridays because we're taking the show to Fridays this Friday. So come on out this Friday with the TGI Fridays on West Broad Street, Broad and Glenside, out here in the West End near our studios. I'll be there. Some of your Odyssey friends will be there. It's going to be a great time. We'll be on 10 to noon, then we'll party after the show. But we're also going to give you a chance to win $50 to TGI Fridays every day this week. And if you want to use that money to come buy me shots on Friday, I wouldn't say no.
Do it.
Wouldn't turn it down. Wouldn't turn it down. Lots to get into today. Obviously, big NBA night last night. The Knicks come away winners at the Garden after a screeching halt finish there. The Timberwolves dominating the Nuggets. Lots to get to, including, since we weren't here yesterday, I want to weigh in on Jamari Thomas committing to VCU, then leaving VCU all in the span of about 48 hours to go chase his bag at South Carolina. So we'll dive into all that as the show goes on. But you know I want to open today with baseball stadium talk because we've been on this from the get-go, and it's finally here. So yesterday was a spontaneous off day. Tomorrow is a scheduled off day. Won't be here tomorrow. But tomorrow's the day. 3 o'clock, City Council. They're going to meet, and they're going to take a vote. And if they pass the vote, there's going to be a baseball stadium in Richmond. It's finally here. Now, there's been a lot of very good reporting in the last 48 hours as we get close to this, because there are rules. We live in a society. There are laws and rules, and they got to put this stuff out ahead of time, right? They have to publish their documents and their agendas and the plans. So we have a feel for what's going on here. And I'm gonna lay it out so that you can make up your mind before I make up your mind, because it's my show. I get to do that. We'll open up the phone lines at the end, 833-804-0910. We don't take a ton of phone calls around here, but if you got something you want to say, I'll let you say it after I'm done talking. Those would be the rules today. How about that? So here's the deal. Tomorrow, City Council meets, and they're going to vote to approve $170 million to build a new baseball stadium for the Richmond Flying Squirrels with city money. So that's the important thing here. That's what's new. You remember the original plan was this land was sold to a developer. The developer is going to build a baseball stadium in exchange for developing this land in Scott's Addition. Now, reportedly, allegedly, whatever modifier you want to throw on top of this, whatever happened, they're dragging their feet. And the city's not great about enforcement mechanisms, nor have they ever been great about enforcement mechanisms. And so we're down this road, and Major League Baseball has declared if there's not a new stadium in Richmond, they're moving the team. And so let's address that one off the top. That's not an empty threat. Not an empty threat that they would move the team out of Richmond, because Major League Baseball, when they bought the minor league teams, made it very clear the principal goal of the minor league teams is developing baseball players, not opening the door. And look, if people come and have fun, I don't think that bothers Rob Manfred. He doesn't seem like a particularly fun guy, but I don't think it bothers him when people have a good time at the Squirrels games. But the primary objective of minor league baseball now is to provide a development pathway for baseball players to come up and ultimately be in the major leagues. And the amount of money generated in the minor leagues is, of course, pennies compared to the major leagues. So when people say, oh, well, they never leave Richmond. Yeah, they absolutely leave Richmond. I don't believe that's an empty bluff there of like, you got to build a new stadium or we'll leave. Like, oh, you're just trying to get us to build a new stadium. No, they would leave. I think that's played itself out. You can ask the good people of Oakland about that. That was at the major league level. If they'll just yank a team away at the major league level, I get the feeling they would not hesitate to do it at the minor league level. They cut a bunch of cities a couple years ago. There are more cities that want minor league baseball now than cities that have minor league baseball. So I don't think that's an empty threat. Secondly, $170 million backed by the city. And what they're saying is, look, this will pay for itself because Scott's Addition is hot and that neighborhood will be hot and they'll build apartments and bars and all those things. And the tax money will pay for the $170 million. And I think that's largely true. That checks out. I think the new baseball stadium development will make a lot of money for the city and will anchor a good, strong development. And look, things change, but if you're telling me today they're going to build 2,000 condos, apartments, houses in Scott's Addition, I'll tell you, I think they're going to sell. And I think they're going to rent out, and I think they'll be at capacity. Does that mean that it'll be that way forever? No. Recessions happen and downturns happen, but generally speaking, we don't have enough housing here. The rents are too dang high. If they build 2,000 housing units, 2,000 people and families are going to move into them and generate the tax money needed. That stuff all makes sense. But you know, I love my guy John Beliles. Used to be on city council. He now writes about it. And he pointed out that in this deal, the original plan was to have a community development authority build the baseball stadium. So that's different than having the city build it because the city's not on the hook. This separate authority group, subcommittee, you know, whatever you want to call it, they're on the hook for the stadium money if it goes south. Now the city's on the hook for the money. He's pointing out, though, that in what city council is going to vote on tomorrow, it still creates the CDA. It still creates the group that can loan money out and bring money in. And that's important because that means down the line, this group, the CDA, can funnel away the tax money from that development to fund things they want to fund. If they want to build a giant parking garage or a new soccer stadium or an arts or trash center, whatever it is, they get first dibs on the tax money. Now, tell me if you've picked up on this yet. If not, I'll just hit you over the head with it. That's the tax money that's going to pay the loans for the city. And the city doesn't have first dibs on it. This other group does. So if they want to take that money that's going to repay the $170 million, they get their hand in the pile first. Doesn't mean they'll use it. Doesn't mean they're going to, but they could. And Beliles speculates that at some point, they're going to want to build a parking garage down there, right? Because when the whole neighborhood gets developed up, people won't have anywhere to park for Squirrels games. Who's going to build that? The CDA is going to build that. What money would they use to build that? They'd probably use the tax money from all these new people in Scott's Addition. Well, that's the tax money being promised tomorrow to pay back the city, right? You can see where we're going here. The money's promised in two different places. So I that was an eye-opener to me. Part two is, and this is crazy, I'll say this first. People are like, oh, this is just, you know, sports teams getting rich, which we talk about a lot around here. We talk about that with the Commanders. We talk about that with Ted Leonsis and Alexandria. This is just the owners getting rich. I don't think the Squirrels are getting a good deal here either, which is another particularly wild element of this. The minor league baseball reporters at Baseball Digest, who I trust more than my minor league baseball reporting, which is very minimal. Sometimes I go to the games and eat hot dogs and drink beer. That's my minor league baseball reporting. These are the actual professionals. Now, the initial deal said the Squirrels were going to pay $1 million a year to lease the stadium from the city. So the city will own the stadium. Squirrels will pay $1 million a year. They get to play their games there. That's the deal. That baseball Digest reported on the front end of that that was on the high end of minor league baseball leases. So $1 million is about the most any minor league team is paying to lease a stadium right now. But in the new deal, with the new numbers, the Squirrels are now paying more than $2 million a year to lease the stadium. And that's real money for a minor league baseball team. That seven digits is not a rounding error. So this isn't even the kind of play where the Squirrels are getting rich off of this. They're not getting a great deal now either, which it is a very popular move in minor league baseball. And I'm not saying this will happen here, and I'm not reporting this will happen here, because I haven't talked to Lou DiBella about this. But it's a very popular move to get a new stadium, build it up, build attendance, build revenues, and then sell the team. And so they may be agreeing to this on the front end, thinking that they'll sell the team down the line, they'll make it back, the lease will be the next guy's problem. Either way, it's not a good deal for the Squirrels. For the city and the taxpayers, it appears to be, if not a good deal, or if not a bad deal, not a good deal, certainly. So we've got a lot at play here. You just say, what's going on here? And the answer is, this is the city's penalty for being bad at what it does. This is what happens when you wait 4 years to take on this project and then have to do your homework overnight. It's finals week. I was supposed to read the book? Oh, shoot. I'll cram. Don't worry. I'll find the Cliff Notes. I'll find the Spark Notes. So we'll get... This is what happens when you have to throw a stadium deal together in 2 weeks because you're at risk of actually losing the team. Let's go back to the start of the segment. It's not a bluff, folks. It's not a bluff. They will actually leave. I think the city has realized that. You've also got an outgoing mayor this year. He's got to get something done before he leaves. They're throwing this thing together. It's not a great deal for the taxpayers. It's not a great deal for the Squirrels. It's probably a good deal for the developers, who, you remember, out of the gate promised to build a baseball stadium and now aren't building a baseball stadium. That's a good swing for them. Tired of being the mark. Tired of being the sucker at the table. Right? We talked about this, me and my guy Awad, when we were in Vegas for Bud Light Big Game Week, right? We were playing poker. If you can't identify the sucker at the table, you might be the sucker at the table. And the city of Richmond is just wearing a big old target. If you're a developer and you want to make a lot of money, come play the city of Richmond. The VCU Health Building and you know, the Squirrel Stadium and on and on. And, you know, the Stone Brewing downtown, right? The Commander's Training Center. The list goes on. We're the sucker. Like, they put up a billboard on 95, painted on the water tower. Come make money off of us. We don't know what we're doing. Now.
Good Googa Mooga!
Hazel's into it today. I like it. Here's the thing, though. You kind of have to hope for it at this point. Having said all this, if I were on city council, I'd hold my nose and vote for it tomorrow. Because the other option is not doing anything. It's not much of an option either. Losing a baseball team, losing a development in Scott's Addition, losing a chance to transform part of the city. I don't like that either. Just wish we had our act together more. I think you got to hold your nose and vote for it. Now, the other thing John Belisle points out here before we slide to the break, before we open up the lines, is the group that gets to the Community Development Authority, which gets to first dibs on the tax money, they're not telling us who's going to be on that group. They said they'll announce it tomorrow right before the vote.
Just don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
There's nothing shady going on here. Just us not announcing who will potentially be able to spend this money that belongs to you, the taxpayer, and is being told will be yours. We'll get to it. We'll announce it tomorrow.
Why do you need to know? Asking too many questions.
You're asking a lot of questions here. Right. That's not how business is done. Well, we're going to come vote on something tomorrow. What are you going to vote on? We'll tell you tomorrow. We'll tell you after. And it's going to pass, and I think it's going to pass easily. Tomorrow, 3 o'clock. Wednesday, 3 o'clock is when the vote happens. I think it'll pass easily. And I would vote for it, but I wouldn't have got us into this place, right? That's the lesson here. How long did we have? I mean, generously, 5-6 years. Squirrels have been here for more than 10 years. Squirrels have been talking about this since they got here. And now we're throwing something together last minute that we're almost certainly going to be talking about 5-10 years from now. Like, wow, how did that go that wrong? You could see it today. I'm explaining it to you today. They're promising this tax money to the city, but the CDA gets first dibs on it if they want first dibs on it. Right? You can see exactly how this is going to go wrong. Now, who's on the CDA so we can hold them to account? Well, we'll tell you tomorrow. We'll get to that. We ran out of time. The Tom Brady roast was on. We just said we'll finish our homework tomorrow. We'll get it done by Wednesday at 3. Don't worry about it. All that said, I'm happy for the Squirrels. I'm glad they're going to get a baseball stadium. I'm happy for the city because I do think in the end, doing things is better than not doing things. And this is doing things. And things are good. And building up the city is good. I wish we did it better. I wish we did it saner. But you can't always get what you want. And so that's where we're at. We'll take your calls if you want to call in. If you want to talk about that, 833-804-0910. If not, we'll get to the other side and we'll get to happier things. And we'll give away some TGI Fridays in this hour. We got the Richmond Ivy pre-professional women's soccer is coming to Richmond. Their sporting director is going to join us at 10:30 this morning. So that is in about 15 minutes from now. We're going to step aside. We'll be back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. All right, we are back. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. MP on the mic. We are thrilled to welcome in sporting director of the Richmond Ivy, newest team in town, Madeline McCracken. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute joy and pleasure to be here with you today.
All right, and this is the week. This is the countdown is on. First game as the Richmond Ivy. What's the excitement level over there as you guys are getting ready for this?
Oh, we are pumped. I mean, this has been a year in the making, so to speak. You know, when they first announced that the W League was coming back to Richmond was about a year ago. So, you know, a lot of hard work has gone into this over the course of the last few months, preparation and planning, and we are so thrilled that the season officially kicks off this Saturday, May 11th at City Stadium. We expect, you know, hopefully a big crowd. We've got an incredible team, and we are so excited to be able to show the city and the region of Richmond what we've been putting together for the past year.
I love it. Now, you built a team from scratch. Take us through how you do that and what we can expect to see in terms of, just the team you've been able to assemble here.
Yeah, it's been really fun. I mean, we've kind of done a lot of different things in order to build this team and find the best process that we felt would work for us. And so, you know, over the course of the last few months, we've held different combines, player combines, where people from all areas and all ages could come out and try out in front of our technical staff, our Ivy staff, and be seen and scouted that way. I've gone through different universities and colleges in the area in Virginia to recruit players at different campuses. And then also been out with Richmond United and scouting local club teams and players from different ages in the youth system. So we've tried to hit different areas, and we really tried to make this a team based on Richmond alumni and players and girls and women. And so we wanted to create a team that, you know, this community could really connect with, and a team that, you know, these players understand because they've been born and raised here. They understand what it means to play for Richmond. And again, just a team that, you know, this city a team that they could identify with as well. So it's been fun. We've done a lot of different things here and there. And like I said, we're just so excited about the way it all turned out.
No doubt. And so now you turn them over to the coaching staff, and they've got a few days, but, you know, a lot of them are coming off of, you know, have been on college teams or have been playing. So how do you get everybody meshed together and ready to go?
That's a great question. So, you know, it is a pretty quick turnaround, but as you just said, they're all coming off for the most part from their college spring seasons, their high school seasons, or their Richmond United club season. So they've been consistently playing, you know, a high level quality of soccer over the past few weeks and months. And then the great thing about it is we do have a lot of players who have played before together through the Richmond United system. So they might be in college and freshmen and sophomores and juniors, but they've had previous experiences, leading up to their college careers, all playing together, which has been really cool to be able to see them last week and at the combines that we held earlier in the year. To see them all come together again and hug and laugh and just to see the connection and the familiarity that is already there is really cool. And I think, you know, will absolutely help us moving forward as we kick off this season, because there is a relationship, a pre-existing relationship and familiarity there with a lot of our players. But again, you know, they're all coming to us having competed in some, you know, college or high school or club season over the last, you know, few months. And so we feel very confident that being able to, you know, do this pretty quickly, the quick turnaround with our incredible coaching staff, it will all come together nicely and in time for May 11th.
It's Saturday night, City Stadium. That's the night. Richmond Ivy sporting director Madeline McCracken kind enough to join us for a few minutes here on The Fan. And we know Richmond's such a great soccer town, women's sports having such a big moment right now, you know, obviously on the basketball side with the Final Four, but women's soccer as well. What's the reaction been since you guys announced this, and what kind of excitement are you getting from the community here ahead of this opener?
It's been phenomenal. It is, you know, it's been incredible to see people on social media and Instagram and at our brand launch party back in March, and you know, so excited about what we're doing. They've been vocal about their support. You know, we've heard many people say they've been waiting for a very long time for women's soccer to return to Richmond, and people have been buying merchandise left and right. And we had almost 300 people at the brand launch party back in March. We sold over 900 season tickets for the Richmond Ivy for this summer, which is just incredible. And it's just blown out everything that we could have expected and hoped for. And we're just so thrilled, you know, that the city of Richmond is so invested into these women and into this team. I think this is an incredible city, you know, the best, if not one of the best cities in the entire United States to have a women's soccer team, just because of their pre-existing and long-standing history with soccer and their love for soccer.
I'm not surprised you moved some merch. This is sharp. So tell us about the Ivy, the identity, the logo, how this all came about.
Yeah, that was a really cool process. Again, that was a really long process. It wasn't, you know, something that just was thought of overnight. We went through an entire art design and conversations and meeting with different groups and women-led groups in the community to try to find, you know, what makes the most sense, what represents Richmond and what we want our team to stand for and something that people would identify with. So, you know, after many different conversations and drawings and back and forth discussions, we settled on the Ivy. And for us, we want this to be, you know, for us, it represents a team that is climbing ever higher together. You know, when you see Ivy, it's never alone. It's always together. It's strong. You know, it's tenacious. And that's what we want our team to be. We want to be a team that, you know, continues to get better and grow stronger every season, working together. And that team that, you know, it's hard to get rid of us. We're never going to go away. We're gonna be there. And it's going to be a tough game every time you play us.
I love it. Madeline McCracken, sporting director for the Ivy, joining us. You want to tell us a little bit about this league you guys are joining and what we can expect to see?
Yeah, so the W League is a pre-professional league. It's nationwide, and it's just an incredible platform for young women to get involved while they're in college and high school and club. It's a developmental league for these players to continue to grow throughout the season in the summer months when, you know, they probably wouldn't be playing typically. So this league was created to give them a platform to continue that growth year-round. And it's really high quality, high competition. You know, it's women of all ages. There is no age restriction, which is wonderful. So you can have some really great experienced players coming in, as well as some really awesome young college players, high school players. And it just is, it gives everybody the same kind of foundation and platform to come together, compete, grow, you know, with the fitness, with the physicality, with the quality, with the style of soccer that's being played all around the country. So we're broken up into divisions, and we will be competing in the Mid-Atlantic division, and we will be playing against some really great teams, and gives us an opportunity to compete with people from Pennsylvania, Northern Virginia, and Maryland. And we're just so excited to, you know, compete against the other great teams in this division and league as well. And we just feel it's great exposure for everybody, you know, no matter where they're coming to us from, what their age is, what their, you know, college experience is like. We're just excited to get them all in one place and give them this exposure to different, you know, opportunities throughout the country.
And a very Virginia flavor to things, too, which we love to see.
Absolutely.
Madeline McCracken, sporting director for the Richmond Ivy. Saturday's the night, 6 o'clock, City Stadium. Let people know how they can get tickets, how they can support you guys.
Yeah, so if you follow us on social media, we've got different links on our Instagram, Twitter, Facebook account, Richmond Ivy SC. And you can also go to our website, richmondivy.com, or also as well on the Richmond Kickers website. There is a tab as well. Again, our website is richmondivy.com, and you can purchase your game day tickets through that website or through our social media links.
All right, Virginia Marauders. Who are we taking on Saturday?
We are playing the Virginia Marauders. So we are ready. We are excited. Two Virginia teams going at it. It's going to be great for the city and for the state and for these women.
We love it. All right. Thank you for taking some time to join us, and good luck with the debut on Saturday.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on the show and for all of your support of the Richmond Ivy. Let's go Ivy. Let's pack City Stadium.
You heard her. Let's do it. We'll be back with more right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Before we get to the really important news, this is important, too. This is in the email box. Subject line, Stubbs here, by the way. Hey, Stubb.
Hello.
Thank you for joining the Monday Fun Day crew on Tuesday. It doesn't make sense, but that's okay. Nothing about this show makes sense. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Subject line, Wienermobile is hauling buns to Richmond. Subject line of this email, Wienermobile is hauling buns to Richmond. This is from Chloe, who refers to herself as Chloweenie.
Chloweenie.
Chloweenie. She's one of the drivers of the iconic Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, which will be in town all weekend, mm-hmm. visiting various Krogers. They hope to catch up with us soon.
Yeah, they always visit Kroger parking lots.
Yes. That's
their destination.
That's their
choice.
Thing. Are Kroger people more likely to go wild for the Wienermobile?
Make sure they have a deal.
I one of the people at the Times Dispatch. She said she was encouraged to interview for this coming out of college. Apparently, it's you have to do it the year after you graduate college, and you commit to a year of driving the Wienermobile.
I think they only sell merch. I don't think there's hot dogs in the mobile.
No, there are no hot dogs in the Wienermobile.
What the heck?
They only give away merch.
Yeah,
yeah. Not to burst your bubble or your dreams or anything.
I want hot dogs.
All right, but Stubbs here because he's at the intersection of movies and culture more so than I am.
I try to stay in touch.
Because last night was the Met Gala, mm-hmm. and people love the Met Gala.
Some do.
Oh, sure. Everybody, you were looking at it,
yep,
Megan.
I was.
Hazel, you're up on your... You were in on it last night there, browsing the...
I was ready.
You were ready.
Yeah.
Is this an elaborate bit, or is this like a real fashion event?
Mm.
Yes, I think is the real answer.
Because, like, I get, like, when they do, like, the Oscars, the best dressed list, like, I get that. It's the Oscars. Everybody showed up and tried to look their best.
Yeah.
And they're actors. They look, and actresses. They look very good to start with, and they're wearing nice clothes. This is, like, show up and look like a tree, and we'll put you in Vogue magazine.
Yeah, so I'm not going to pretend to be an expert okay. on this matter, but there's always a theme.
Yeah.
And they've been doing this for so long, they might be starting to run low on themes. And also, they always pick weird themes that aren't susceptible to clothing.
And are these people, like, is this, or is there, there's dinner, there's dancing? You can't dance in a dress.
There might be performances. I think Ariana Grande's song.
Yeah, she did. I saw that.
You can't, like, eat dinner wearing this, though. She, like, these
you try.
People.
Do they get, like, bibs?
This one woman, like, her dress was so tight, they, like, had to carry her up the stairs.
Yeah, you can't eat food or it'll pop.
You can't eat food, yeah. They're saving a lot on dinner here.
I guess so. I think this is more an event for designers than the celebrities.
That's what I'm learning. The cost of entry is $75,000, but...
That's cheaper than I would have guessed.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what's that to Sydney Sweeney?
But the celebrities don't pay.
Oh. The designers pay?
The designers pay and send the celebrities, mostly. Some people pay their own way. You can buy a table of 10, though, for $350,000.
That's a steal.
That's a steal. That's more than half off, Stubb. That's,
so
but,
we all go in on this.
But you have to be invited. You can't just buy a ticket.
So you have to be invited, and then you can buy a ticket.
Anna Wintour has to invite you, and then you can buy the tickets.
What if I pay more?
Oh.
Like, would they say no to, like, a million?
I bet they have. I bet they have.
Huh.
You think about, like, walking on it, it's not a red carpet, you know? Like, you know, walking the stairs.
Yeah, steps.
Think about, like, all the rich people in the world who, like, you know, would buy that for their wives or whatever.
Mm.
Or rich women who would buy that for themselves
that.
Or whatever. Like, that... It just feels like if you opened it up to, like, pay double and you can come, people would pay double and the event would lose.
Yeah, we don't need the Goldman Sachs wives.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Fill up the event. I see the vision.
What do you want for Christmas? A ticket to the Met Gala. You can just buy a table. It's half off. I can bring my friends. Do you have any favorite looks here?
There's one that's made of sand.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's made of sand.
Nobody knows.
And
yeah.
The cleanup afterwards, not something I would want to do.
But the dresses that are so big and flowy, like, do they just sit at the table? Do they have to, like, get folded up?
Do they have to buy a whole table?
They may have to buy a whole table.
They have to buy the whole table so they can fit.
And what do they serve for dinner at the Met Gala?
I don't know.
These are the important questions.
Maybe the extra poofy ones are the, like, they can zipper them off when it's dinner time. Save some space. It's just for the stair walk.
I like that it's got a little zipper.
It's got a little zipper.
You take the rest of last night's menu featured chilled spring pea soup or a king salmon served on vintage plates with assortment of fruit and vegetables.
Okay.
Vintage plates. Anna, is that a part of it too?
Anna Wintour. Well, yeah, it's the Met. Like, they probably just, like, get the like,
well, I was thinking, like, 500-year-old
plates
of
out of the...
Yeah, we had mentioned Garden of Time was the theme this year.
Garden of Time.
Garden
That's
of
why
time.
Everybody looks like a tree. That's
a lot of people went more garden than they did time.
Yeah, there's a basketball player who's got a briefcase made out of a guy. Why was Flavor Flav not invited? This would seem to be a signature event.
He may
Flavor
have been
Flav.
Invited, but didn't want to pay the $70,000.
All right. What did he know about the half-off deal?
Ah, we need to call him.
Three ingredients have been banned from the meal. Onions, garlic, and chives.
Okay.
What?
The banning of garlic
Why?
Is a horrible decision.
I agree.
Are there vampires? Where's the conspiracy sounder?
Garlic is like one of the most
garlic
important
make,
meal ingredients
garlic
to
make,
me.
Yeah, garlic makes food
in Italian.
Better.
And onions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. I love
it. Is there some, like, allergies?
Can't even saute.
Do people have, like, room-clearing peanut allergies? You ever know anyone like that?
No, I don't know anybody with room-clearing peanut allergies. My brother says he's allergic to, like, cashews, but it's like a random nut. It's like, I think he just don't like them.
He's lying?
I don't know. I think he just doesn't like them. Ed Sheeran looks like he's going to prom.
Can you show me that?
He's got a, it's like a blue tuxedo.
It's what my dad wore to his brother's wedding.
I did this like bit off air, but any man at the Met Gala is doing nothing.
No. Yeah, they're
it's
no,
a little disappointing.
The men are not wearing interesting
for
things.
For our team.
it's because it's why, like, the woman is like, it's made out of sand and, like, it represents the shifting sands of time and it's worth $12 billion.
And then
here's the guy in a Tommy
Hilfiger
suit.
My cuff link is an hourglass. I really went all out.
The guys are getting the better end of this too.
Well, I mean, they're probably comfier.
Yes, and they're able to eat.
Yeah, and walk.
And walk up the stairs comfortably. Yes, that so what. Does this raise money for something, or is this just a celebrity powwow?
That's a great question.
Yeah. I like the thought that they're eating off the plates that, like, they have in the Met that are this, from, like, decades ago.
Seemingly, this is just a marketing event.
Okay.
Like, it's just... You show up, and it's like, look at all these designers.
Look, I don't...
And then you move on.
This isn't the Sydney Sweeney show that happens on 910, The Fan, but I can't help but notice that she doesn't look like Sydney Sweeney.
No, yeah, she has different hair. She looks like Billie Eilish. I thought it was her at an initial glance.
Right? What? That's a wild transformation.
Yeah, she I mean, really, it's a wig. It's just
could,
a wig. That's the only thing.
But like,
that's
you could have given me 100 guesses, and I would not have gone to Sydney Sweeney at any point. That's crazy. No, I like the like that. Like Nicki Minaj.
Nicki did good.
That's good.
That was a good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what's good and what's bad. That's the problem.
This
here.
Is what the people tell me.
Okay.
My sources put Nicki near the top of the rankings.
Okay.
There were flowers. That's a garden. Lacking time. I think we need to combine things. That's why sand is up the list.
And
because there are sand gardens and sands are time.
Sure. And the Kardashians were able to show their face after getting booed at the Tom Brady roast. I don't get why were they booed at the Tom Brady
roast? People
don't
like her.
But
just generally.
Does she get booed everywhere she goes now? Is that? I don't like.
Do you think Taylor would have been booed if she was there?
I don't think that's her crowd.
I know it's not her crowd, and that's why she wasn't there.
You're talking about Met Gala.
No,
Tom Brady
Tom
roast.
Brady roast. If Taylor was at
what
Tom
would she
Brady
be
roast,
doing at the Tom Brady roast?
She's a football star now.
That
people
what?
Are too scared to boo Taylor Swift. No
that
way
was
is anyone booing.
Travis Kelce's scene to a T.
Oh yeah,
he would have fit right in there.
he
could have done at least as good as Gronkowski.
I think Jason would have done better.
Jason's born for events like that because he's got a little bit of the like the charisma.
He would have had too much to drink, and something would have happened like Gronk throwing a glass that shatters.
Absolutely. Thank you for dropping by and enlightening us, Stubb. We got to make way for Tuesdays with Trey. Trey Wilson, voice of the Flying Squirrels, will give us his best and worst dressed of the Met Gala after this. This is 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. 1020, what's up? It's Tuesday morning. It's MP on the mic. It's live, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. It's anytime you want it on the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. It's anywhere, anytime on your favorite podcasting app. You just search MP on the mic. All right, Hazel's here. Megan's here. Normally we do this on Mondays, but we moved it back to Tuesday, which is awesome. We got Tuesdays with Trey coming up at 11. Trey Wilson will join the program. He is awake. He has texted to confirm. If you missed my chat, with myself about the new Flying Squirrel Stadium, grab the Odyssey app. It's got the rewind button. Here's what I want to do. I was at a graduation this weekend. I want to go straight to the Bitcoin guy because I like the Bitcoin guy. This is Ohio State University, which is not a small school, by the way. That's not like, you know, you go to a small dinky school, you get who you get as the graduation speaker,
yeah.
Right? You'll get a name next year, right? Are you December or May?
I'm December.
Yeah, you won't get anybody
no.
then. Thanks for playing. Megan got a name at Liberty.
I did. I had Jimmy Carter.
That's a name.
That's a name.
That's a name. That's pull. Now, I'm not saying Ohio State has to get Jimmy Carter. My graduation speaker was the CEO of Ford.
Oh.
Ah, that's cool.
Is it?
Mr. Henry.
I mean, it sounds cool.
That would have been a whole other story.
Yeah. Sure. He's important. Is that the guy I want to hear from? I don't know.
I mean, that's fair.
It's a tough thing to do.
Would you rather have the Ohio State speaker?
I would definitely rather have the Ohio State speaker. I'm just going to say it. I would 100% rather have the Ohio State speaker. So here's what's going on. Ohio State, which is a big school, by the way, they got a, quote, serial entrepreneur. I just pulled up the website for his name, and it started playing very loudly. Chris Pan. He is an entrepreneur. He was invited to give Ohio State's commencement
speech.
Did you
say serial entrepreneur?
That's how he describes himself.
Like serial killer?
Well,
oh my God.
He says he took psychedelic drugs to write his commencement speech. He was on ayahuasca. That's the Rodgers thing.
Oh yeah.
This is his advice to the graduates at Ohio State University.
The mechanics of investing are actually easy, but it comes down to mindset. The most common barriers are fear, laziness, and closed-mindedness. Great investors are open-minded and understand things before other people. So I know this might feel polarizing, but I encourage you to keep an open mind right now. I see Bitcoin as a very misunderstood asset class.
They're booing him. It's the sigh for me.
It's decentralized and finite, which means no government can print more at will. In the early days, the exchanges for Bitcoin were prone to hacks and fraud, but the issue has been resolved with the recent launch of the Bitcoin ETFs backed by two of the world's largest asset managers, BlackRock and Fidelity.
Yeah, invest in Bitcoin. You can trust it because thanks are behind it now. They're openly booing the commencement speaker. How bad do you have to be to get booed as the commencement speaker?
Pretty bad.
Really bad. Everybody's in a good mood. The number one thing is you got to keep your remarks brief.
Oh, yeah.
Number one key to being a commencement speaker. And beyond that, say whatever you want to say. Say some nice platitudes. Say something. You got to be bad to... But he said he was on ayahuasca.
I mean,
when he wrote it. Yeah. To brag about that, too, afterward.
And you told me he posted that on LinkedIn, which is such a choice.
I don't exist in LinkedIn world. All the LinkedIn posts that go viral are wild. It's like, I'm gonna tell you a story about success in business. Like, I had a friend, he was working 17-hour days, and he said, how do I get ahead? I can never get ahead. And I said, you have to work 19-hour days. And he worked 21-hour days, and now he's a success story. Share this if you want investing tips.
Oh, that's LinkedIn, and yeah. I could see that on LinkedIn, but seeing...
And then he's on LinkedIn
ayahuasca.
Like, hey, guys, I got invited to speak at Ohio State's commencement.
Ohio State.
The Ohio State University. And so I went into a dark room and did drugs for a while and came out with this speech.
As one does.
I know you went to college for 4 years. What you should do is put all your money into Bitcoin.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Stop being lazy. Get into Bitcoin.
His LinkedIn profile also lists stints as a senior associate at McKinsey & Company, marketing director for Pepsi in China, and a program manager for Facebook. His latest work involves his own company, which crafts braided bracelets with custom messages on them. He announced towards the end of his speech he would give away a bracelet to every attendee in the stadium.
It's all over the place.
He's a serial entrepreneur.
Yeah, I see it.
Forget Conspiracy Corner. He's just open about it. This is what I do.
I made bracelets. What drug was he on when he decided the bracelets were a good idea?
That's what I want to know, yeah.
Braided bracelets with custom messages on them.
Do you think he customized them for everyone in the stadium?
Do you think he got...
Congratulations.
I think he got...
Buy Bitcoin.
Is he inspired by Taylor Swift? Is that what's going on here?
He just wants friends.
He's out there trading friendship bracelets with everybody afterwards?
They all have his personal number.
Yep.
All right, when we come back, it's MP on the mic. It's the Tuesday show. Richmond Ivy women's soccer team gets started on Saturday, 6 p.m. at City Stadium. Madeline McCracken, she's the sporting director over at the Ivy, will join the program, tell us about the team. They're basically built a team from scratch over the last few weeks. We'll ask her about that. We'll keep things rolling. In the 11 o'clock hour, we're giving away $50 to TGI Fridays because we'll be there this Friday, doing the show live from Fridays. So you can look forward to that. You can look forward to Madeline McCracken on the other side of this break. It's 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Tuesday morning. You know what that means. It's 11 o'clock. Well, first off, that means something special today. We're going to be giving out $50 to TGI Fridays. Stay tuned for your chance to win. We'll be at TGI Fridays Friday, doing the show live 10 to noon. Tomorrow, abbreviated show, will be on for half an hour. Then we'll make way for the Richmond Flying Squirrels, who are in the midst of a long road trip. Trey Wilson joins us, as he does Tuesdays with Trey. Trey, I saw that you were looking into renting a car yesterday, which I can only assume means you were invited to the Met Gala.
Well, that's obviously accurate. No, I had a little bit of trouble getting my rental car reservation. Literally the Seinfeld bit, for those who are familiar.
Anybody can take the reservation. Taking isn't the hard part. It's the filling the reservation. That's what gets you.
Yeah, that's what happened. I'm in Erie, Pennsylvania. It's a smaller place than like Richmond, and the airport Enterprise. Or not Enterprise, but one of the other rental car places. They're only open from like 3 to 5 and then from 10 to 11 p.m. And because there's one flight that comes into Erie every day from Charlotte at 10 o'clock. So I did the whole ordeal there. I show up to pick up the rental car and they're like, oh, we're out of cars. I'm like, well, I have a reservation. The guy goes, well, yeah, I know you have a reservation, but the problem is I don't have any cars. And it was literally, we don't need to go down that whole path anymore. It was literally the scene from Seinfeld.
So you were stuck in Erie for the night. I flew in.
Well, I did end up getting a car yesterday. I made it to Philadelphia to watch Mason Black make his MLB debut.
Oh, so. Let's go. Okay. How were things?
Things were great. The drive across Pennsylvania is not there's not a whole lot going on there. It's beautiful during the day, but at night it's just dark. And but then yeah, it's always good to be in Philadelphia. I've never had a chance, I don't think, in my career to see one of the players who's played for one of my teams make his major league debut in person. So there was an opportunity to do it. Plus, there was an opportunity to go hang out with a bunch of friends that were out there in Philadelphia for that game too. So that was part of it. But Mason started out his major league career by getting a ground out from Kyle Schwarber and then striking out JT Realmuto and Bryce Harper. So it's a pretty good way to get your big league career started in your hometown ballpark. He grew up a Phillies fan. He grew up a Roy Halladay fan, pitching on his mound, and that was about as cool as could be.
Busman's holiday for you, Trey, there. Baseball on the day off.
Yeah. It wasn't as much about the baseball, though, as it was about the people. But
yes.
I do like baseball. Baseball is great. I do get plenty of it.
We're pro baseball around here. There you go. Trey Wilson joins us on Tuesdays. Do you have a car preference when you get the rental car? Do they hook you up? Are you like on the special
reservation? Any car, if it has four wheels and internal combustion engine, I am thrilled. As long as they fill the reservation.
I flew into Rapid City, South Dakota once, and like the rental car thing, I think she just let me have her car for the day. Like I don't think there even was a formal rental car operation. There's like somebody's here that wants a car. I don't know, my Buick's out back. See if they'll pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, I usually reserve. I'm a bigger guy. I'm 6'5", and so I need a little better leg room. But I will still usually reserve the compact because it's going to be the cheapest. And I feel like 80% of the time they don't have any, so you end up getting the free upgrade anyway.
Yes.
To at least a midsize. As a person, I prefer to drive like larger vehicles that have like captain style chairs in them, so my knees aren't as messed up. But as a person who likes to save a little bit of money, I don't mind going with a small car.
There you go. Trey Wilson joins us. Tuesdays with Trey, you just never know which road we're going to go down. My favorite, you know, they're always trying to upsell you. My favorite of all time, I was in Phoenix, and same thing, had the compact reservation. I'm a company man, you know, and the lady's trying to get me to upsell. And she goes, you know, this class up, you know, this Volvo, you know, BMW, whatever, it's only $14 a day. I said, no, I'm good. And she said, well, just so you know, your car is black and it's very hot here. And so I, you know, this BMW, it's painted white, so it won't be as hot inside. And I paused. I said, the black car, does it have air conditioning? Well, yes, but it's very hot in Phoenix. I'm going to take my chances that that we can somehow survive this this great injustice here.
Well, with this one, they were the when I did finally get my car yesterday morning, they were out of most cars, and it's a Monday. I get it; the rental car places are very busy on Mondays. But they ended up giving me the free premium upgrade. They gave me the premium car.
Yeah, let's go.
But what I forgot. I didn't think about it until I got to the gas station for the first time, because it also, they were trying to hurry and get it out and have any gas in it, was it also requires premium gas, which I had the thought for a split second. I was like, well, it's a rental car. Do I really care? But I know how it's not going to run right. It's going to cause problems. So, and Pennsylvania gas is very expensive. So, you know, it was, that I definitely, made up for the upgrade at the gas pump.
I'm picturing Trey Wilson scooting around Pennsylvania in a nice car there. I love it. Squirrels start a week two of the road trip here. First off, how are we holding up? How are spirits here halfway through the road trip? Do we have enough laundry? Or are we going to make it to the finish line?
Yeah, laundry's good. Laundry's good. It is tough to pack for a 14-day trip. You know, the uniforms and stuff, like we talked about, they get washed. But for me, I don't have that luxury. But the players, the team, last week was a little rough. There's been a little bit of a bug going around the team. A lot of guys have been a little bit under the weather. So the results last week, honestly, most of the games were pretty close. It's just there's a mix of just trying to piece it together. Plus, Dennis Pelfrey has now left. We talked about that in our conversation with him on on Saturday that we aired before the game on Saturday, but he's going to be away from the team for a few weeks while he gets his hip fixed from a surgery he had this offseason. So it's been a little bit of a strange trip, but hopefully everybody got a chance on the off day yesterday to recover, get healthy, reset, and get ready for this week, which is a rematch of the last 2 years division series. So this one, the crazy thing is that even losing six out of the last seven, which they've not played poorly in, so that leaves a lot of confidence in this team still, but that they're not that terribly far out of the top of the division. So everything's still relatively close. Akron's kind of pulling away a little bit. They've won 12 out of the last 13, I think. But things are still within striking distance. So if everybody can kind of get healthy, we've seen how much potential this team has. This is a really good team. And when they're firing on all cylinders, I think that it's hard to find a team in this league that's about as good as this one is. So hopefully the road to climbing back up the standing starts tomorrow or later tonight here in Erie.
Ran into an absolute buzzsaw in Akron, too. They got a double-digit win streak by the time it was done?
Yeah, they had won 10 straight. The Squirrels did snap that on Friday night. John Michael Bertrand just continues to be absolutely insanely good. You know, at this level, in this day and age, most of the best pitchers are throwing like 98-plus. And John Michael Bertrand's coming out there with a fastball at 87 to 88 and just pitching. He pitches his tail off. He took a perfect game through seven innings to two starts ago back at the Diamond. He threw five scoreless innings on Friday when the team really needed it in the bullpen, finished the shutout. They got the win. Snapped that Akron winning streak. He has just been unreal. He won Eastern League Pitcher of the Week the week before last. He's really been kind of on a roll. Like it's hard to put together a stretch like he's been on. It's been very impressive to watch.
Flying Squirrels play every night, of course, right here on 910 The Fan, except tomorrow when they'll play at 11:05 a.m. Little Education Day game out there in Erie. Fun matchup against the Seawolves, and as Trey mentioned, a matchup we see a lot of throughout the postseason as well. Well, good luck in Erie, Trey. Always appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us, and you'll be on during the show tomorrow, so we'll look forward to that. We'll be listening to you all week, and very excited to welcome the Squirrels home next week for about time we had a homestand around here. It's been a minute.
Yeah, looking forward to getting back home next Tuesday through Sunday. That's the only stretch of home games over a four-week span, so the last, you know, the two-week stretch we're in the middle of now, the Squirrels are on the road again the week after that, so make sure to come out and see us at the Diamond next week. Thanks for having me on. Sorry I'm bumping you off the air tomorrow but with our game, but it should be a fun week here in Erie.
All right, just make sure you make up for it by giving a lot of Met Gala talk. What else we talked about? Basically, just not anything that's not sports. Just devote an entire inning with Blaine to that, and we'll be even.
Yeah, I'll see what I can dig up. I'll go through and talk about the history of bluegrass or something like that.
There we go. Now we're talking. There he goes, Trey Wilson. Thank you for joining us Tuesdays with Trey. Next week, Trey will be back, and we'll have a homestand finally. So that'll be exciting for the Squirrels. Always appreciate him joining us. Now, we got to get to business here at the end of this segment, though, because we got $50 to give away from our friends at TGI Fridays. We're going to be out at Fridays this Friday on West Broad Street, Broad and Glenside here in the West End. We'll be doing the show live from TGI Fridays, so you can look forward to that. Head on out there this Friday. Show's 10 to noon. Restaurant opens at 11, so please don't show up at 10. I'll be doing the first hour inside an empty TGI Fridays, which, as many of you know, has been my live stream and broadcasting, so I'll get a chance to fulfill that. Then at 11 o'clock, doors will open. You come in and party. We'll keep the party going after noon as well. But right now, if you're the first caller, 833-804-0910. We got $50 to TGI Fridays for you in celebration of us doing the show live out there on Friday. 833-804-0910. Busy night in the NBA. We've got a lot to cover, a lot to get to on the other side. If you missed any of it, of course, grab the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. But right now, give us a shout for some free TGI Fridays. $50 gift card to the first caller, 833-804-0910. We'll take a break. We'll come back. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Good show today. That's the proclamation. No, I don't have anything else to add beyond that. It was a good show today. Thanks to our guests who dropped by. Madeline McCracken is the sporting director at the Richmond Ivy. She put together the pre-professional women's soccer team. They take the stage, take the pitch for the first time Saturday, 6 o'clock at City Stadium. Get out there and support women's soccer in Richmond if you missed that interview. Grab the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. We'll also post it as a podcast later. Just search MP on the mic on your favorite podcast platforms. Thanks to Trey Wilson, voice of the Squirrels, for a little Tuesdays with Trey. Busman's holiday for Trey yesterday. It had a day off and the 14-day roadie. Spent it driving to Philadelphia to go to a baseball game for Mason Black's debut there. I wish I didn't like that Philly sports complex, but I do. It's nice. I want to not like it, but it's a nice. Well, I've got a beef with Philly sports. Period. That's my number one seed.
Really?
That's the rival for me. I don't want them to have nice things. It's a really nice stadium complex though. It's a great place to watch a baseball game, and he got to watch Mason Black make his debut for the Giants. 4 1/3 inning pitch, gave up 5 runs, took the loss, but struck out 4, including getting Bryce Harper out there in the first inning for the Phillies. And we'll give you one more reminder that we're at TGI Fridays this Friday. Doors at 11. Show ends at noon. We'll keep the party going, though. We'll save some potato skins for you. Come join the live MP on the mic down at TGI Fridays. To celebrate that, we've also got $50 gift cards. We're giving one away every day this week and 2 on Friday from the live show. Love it. So bring on AWOD for a little crosstalk here. AWOD, I had to slip into professor mode at the start of the show. For people who didn't catch it, they can grab the app. Votes tomorrow. Tomorrow's the big day, 3 o'clock, City Hall, voting on whether or not to authorize $170 million to keep the Richmond Flying Squirrels in town.
Yeah, it's important.
It's
important. Big day.
It's important. And the thing I keep coming back to, because you have a lot of non-sports people who they're bluffing. They'd never move the team. You don't want to play that game with Major League Baseball.
No.
They're not bluffing. They would move the team out of Richmond, and they would not give it a second thought at all. It's an important vote, an important day. And my bottom line takeaway was, I don't like the numbers underlying it, and honestly, I don't think it's a good deal for the Squirrels either. I think they're kind of getting worked over here too. But it's so important to have first-class amenities like a baseball team.
I also feel like if you get shovels in the dirt, you can change things later, you know. I mean, let's just get the stadium built, and then if you want to in 10 years, you can add to it or you can add to the surrounding area. But if we don't get shovels in the dirt as soon as possible, there will not be a Flying Squirrel season in 2 years.
MLB's got to see progress. Yeah. And right now, all the progress is talking. They need to see some building progress is what they need to do. Look, you were here yesterday. I know you weighed in on it. I know you're as frustrated as I am about it. Jamari Thomas, he committed to VCU last week. Norfolk State, he was the MEAC Player of the Year. And then bounces again over the weekend to South Carolina. And look, I don't know what the answer is here, because this happens in recruiting too, where guys commit and then decommit. But it just feels like even more of a middle finger, we've got money and you don't have money, when it happens this blatantly in NIL world.
Yeah, I mean, when you post an announcement that says you're committed and it's got your picture and you're wearing the jersey and all, it's just frustrating to, you know, go back on that. And, you know, there needs to be rules in place, because it's the Wild West. You know, I've had several college basketball reporters tell me that what's happening is happening all around the country, where a player commits and then an opposing team school gives them a call and says, well, I heard you commit, but we're going to add 20,000 or 30,000 or 50,000. And the numbers don't stop because there are no rules to this. And, you know, the transparency is frustrating, because if he's going to leave for South Carolina, I'd love to hear how much they offered him. Right? I mean, I'd love to see what we're competing against here. We had this bill with Glenn Youngkin that's going to take place June 1st here. How is that going to help VCU? Because, yeah, I'm frustrated. The fan base is pissed off. You know, I'm tired of finding out new kids every 6 months I got to root for.
That's the other part, too, is right. At least with the NIL, the letter of intent, NLI, was the NLI world. On signing day, they signed a piece of paper, they committed to the school, and you couldn't break it after that without mutual permission. Are we just not doing that in Portland? It sure feels like, you know, at the very minimum, these things shouldn't be announced until there is a binding signature on a piece of paper.
Right.
Yeah, that's the part that gets
made. But the part that I don't understand is, even if there's a signature on a piece of paper, the rules kind of say you can do whatever you want, right? I mean, and what's literally happening is teams are players, all right? And this is why, you know, everyone's to blame here. Is, and I'm not talking about just Jamari Thomas, but players are committing to a school and then telling other schools about that and how much exact money they were offered, and it's become a mafia game now of, hey, you know, show me an offer I can't refuse.
I'm not mad at Jamari Thomas. Kids play in the game, and he came away with a bag for it. I'm mad at the system because, look, for many years, and I said it, it was unfair that the kids did not share in the massive profits they were generating by playing college basketball. But instead of a reasonable solution, like, look, if the competing radio station in town offers you a pile of money today, you can't take it. We're under contract here.
Right.
We signed a contract. We work here. They pay us. That's the deal. We can't just be like, actually, I went across the street and told them what I make, and they offered me a giant pile of money, and so I take it. Like, that's when the kids are asking for, like, hey, we want to share in the profits. We want to be under contract, you know, employees, you know, semi-employees, whatever it is. That's not what that means to be.
Well, I want to go back to
the NFL. In the NFL, you can't sign a contract and be like, well, we publicized the contract with the Dolphins, and then the Lions called and said they'd offer more, so I'm out of here. That's not how that works.
I want to go back to what you said a minute ago when they decided we wanted to pay the players for the name, image, and likeness. Well, can we start making them pay for school then too? Because they got, you know, $40,000 to $80,000 worth of a scholarship here, and then money on top of that now, and there's just way too much power.
A bigger question: do they even want to go to school? Like, should that even be a part of this?
I'm old school. You know, I say do not pay them until they finish their freshman year. The scholarship's already enough. You're giving them free room and board. I mean, my goodness, what are we doing in this country, right? We're just handing them everything before they've even, know how to write a check. They're not even able to vote yet. And we're handing them $1 million and saying, here, if you go to class, that's fine, but we need you to play basketball. I mean, what the hell?
I think the school thing's just a weird element of this whole thing. Like, is any school, because we're talking about now NIL, VCU is allowed to directly pay the players starting June 1st, July 1st, whatever.
I thought maybe it's July, yeah.
July, I don't know, whatever it is. They're allowed to directly pay the players July 1st. Are they going to flunk a kid? And if they flunk a kid, do they have to keep paying him even though he can't play basketball at that point? Like, that's a weird, squishy thing to me, too. Like, VCU, the institution, is committing, let's just make up numbers, $300,000 to, you know, Max Schulga to come back and play for another year. Max goes to social studies class, and he's getting an F. Like, are we going to flunk him? What? It's a squishy situation.
That situation, I think, is more for a football school. You know what I mean? How do you keep track of 53 guys that are skipping class?
If Max flunks, does he still get paid? Is the contract still valid?
Right.
And if he doesn't get paid and he's like, hey, this professor had it out for me, can he sue? Like, every time somebody sues the NCAA, they win. It's just open season on suing the NCAA. It feels like we're in a weird space here where nobody would build this system, right?
Right.
Like, we almost need to just take a stick of dynamite, blow it up, and create a new system. Because we keep trying to, like, graft on all these, like, we can do this and we can do, like, little updates to the way.
Amendments or something. No.
Nobody would build this system.
No.
If you were starting from scratch.
No. I mean, it's just, it's ruined. It sucks. It's not good for the fans. That's what really gets hurt, is the fan experience.
And I'll watch this fall, but I will enjoy it less when I don't know the game. If Toby Lowell came back this year, I'd be 7% more excited about the VCU basketball season.
Yes.
Because I like Toby Lowell, and I enjoyed watching him, and he was fun. Whoever's next is going to be fine. We'll have him on the show. He'll probably be great. I'll enjoy him. But it won't quite be the same when you have to regenerate that interest every day.
I don't know how these guys are going to feel when they're 40 years old And, you know, they're watching the NCAA tournament, and they don't know what team to root for because they played for four different universities.
I mean, we're going to, at some point, we'll have a kid who's like fully representing the whole Final Four, right?
Right.
Did four in 4 years. All right. Plenty more on AWOD Radio, 3 hours live and local. Squirrels in Erie. That starts tonight at 6:30. Abbreviated show tomorrow, 10 to 10:30. We'll still give away $50 to TGI Fridays. We'll catch you then. This is MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.